ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
On ABC Radio, you're with Rod Quinn, and you know, in just a couple of weeks' time, it's our favourite time of the year, which is the Eurovision Song Contest. Alistair Birch will be in Eurovision for us. Alistair, welcome back to the program.
Greetings, yes. In Sweden this year, of course, because Lorraine won it last year in what was a victory that many people expected, but turned out to be much more controversial than perhaps we would have thought, because Lorraine didn't win the public vote, and she didn't get many 12 points at all, really, from the jury or from the public vote. She won by getting a consistent 8 or 10 points, a consistent second or third place across the board. Yes, a few 12 points, a few first places, but all added together, Sweden beat Finland, and we're off to Malmö this week, this year.
Now, why Malmö? It's one of the major cities in Sweden, of course, but what kind of bidding process is there for the Swedish cities? Was it the only one that wanted to host it, or what's the story?
No, there were three cities who looked at it. Stockholm was ruled out fairly early on because the Globe Arena, where it was hosted last time in Stockholm, is undergoing renovation at the moment, was not available. And that is actually the smaller of two arenas right next door to each other. And the larger arena is in use, pre-booked for football and, you know, soccer and all sorts of other sports. So nothing was available in Stockholm. They did look very closely at some of the more remote towns in Sweden, but then you start hitting logistical problems. Are there enough? They may have the stadium, but are there enough hotels? Is there a good enough airport connection and so on? And it relatively quickly was whittled down to Malmö, who has hosted it before, fairly recently. But that's actually a good thing. It means they know what to do. There's kind of living memory of how to host Eurovision. And I'm sure it's going to be a great show.
Okay. Last year, when you were in Liverpool, the accommodation was very hard to find. What is the situation now in Malmö? I mean, you'd like to be within walking distance of the stadium, but that may not be right.
Yes, it's so much easier in Scandinavia, especially in a smaller town like, or smaller city like Malmö. Interestingly, it's right on the border with Denmark. I don't know if you've ever seen the SBS program The Bridge.
Of course.
Which is about a cop series. It's about this very bridge that connects Sweden or the city of Malmö with Copenhagen in Denmark. So the first week during the rehearsals, I'll be staying at a hotel right at the stadium, which is where I like to be. The second week, when all the visitors arrived to actually watch the shows, yes, of course, Malmö is completely booked out. But I'm in a hotel on the train line further down, actually in Copenhagen, and I will be crossing the border twice a day on the train to attend the venue. Not that you'd notice it, by the way. There's no passport control or anything like that. It's all within the Schengen zone. So it's like crossing from one state to another. The street signs look slightly different. But that's about it. And the different currency, though. One of them's in the Eurozone, I think, and the other one still has its own currency.
Fair enough. All right, so we're looking forward to it, of course. What can we expect this year? What have you heard? Or, I mean, I'm sure you've heard all the entries, or most of them by now. What can we expect? What have you heard?
Well, I've been watching the national finals and the videos that have been released. We haven't actually seen the rehearsals just yet because the rehearsals, in any case, are closed this year. We don't get to see them until right the day before the TV broadcast. But based on what we have seen already from the national finals, there seems to be a lot more of, I would say, the joke stroke comedic entry this year. Last year, the Finnish entry with his green bolero, with his green suit and very, very extreme staging and extreme dentures. It was all extreme and also a very loud song. I think it's inspired a lot of countries to do something similar, and some have been successful and some have been less successful, let us say. There's a Finnish band who are basically thematically after Windows 95, which is rather bizarre. Normally, you're not allowed to use trade names on Eurovision, but Windows 95 is so old.
Yeah.
The actual old Microsoft trade name has lapsed, and so they have been permitted to use the name Windows 95. And it's all about nostalgia for the 90s, 90s clothing, 90s song, 90s dancing. That is going to be quite interesting. I don't think it's going to win, but I think a certain age bracket will vote for that simply because of the 90s connection. There's another band which is based on a food, Baby Lasagna from Croatia. Now, they are also doing a very, very loud song in style of last year's entry from Finland. But you know what? This is also a song with great melody. The moment the song starts, you pay attention to it. The starting of the song is very good. There's a great beat to the song. Very good staging. With a little bit of luck, we may be going to Zagreb next year. In fact, I always mention where I put my $10 each year, where I invest my $10. And this year, I did place my $10 bet on Croatia. And amazingly, it's 4-1. Usually, the bands I choose are so way out there, they're in like 200 or 100-1. But Croatia was in a good position.
They're the second favourite, pretty much at the moment, to Switzerland.
Yeah, the Switzerland one is overrated. They've got a very good videos. They spend a lot of money on a very sophisticated video. It's so sophisticated, I think he changes his costume every 15 seconds. There's no way you're going to be able to reproduce that on stage. And the song, without that wonderful video, just won't win. It might even be another DJ Bobo. That was, I think, 2007, where the Swiss were riding high in the betting, and then they didn't even qualify for the grand final. So Switzerland, I would say, is not going to win. Talking about the betting, a band which might be mildly concerned right now is our very own Electric Fields, who the bookies are predicting will not qualify for the grand final. Now,
that's the Australian entry, we should point out.
The Australian entry, yes. I would disagree with that. I think they're a cert to qualify.
Wow.
For various reasons. I saw them perform live at the Australian National Final, I think it was about 5 years ago. Their stage show was amazing in the hall. The song was amazing, and this year's song is even better. What let them down last time was they weren't used to TV cameras. They're a group, they're a couple of guys who very much do an improvised song and dance act, and or at least the dance part is very much improvised. And that means, at least back then, it was different every time. And so with modern cameras, they're all pre-programmed. They're all robots, essentially. You must do the same thing. You must look the same way. You must be in the same place every time. And 5 years ago, Electric Fields really struggled with that. When I've seen them perform on TV since then, they were actually live at the Mardi Gras a couple of years back, and they got every single camera shot right. They nailed it. And this was on a stage in the middle of the SCG, where it wasn't entirely clear where all the cameras were, but they'd obviously practiced, they'd learnt the moves, and they looked at the camera at the right time. It was flawless. And so I think that's the big thing the band have learned. They've learned not just how to bring over a great song on TV, but also how to look good. And I think that will come across well. What's also a detractor for them right now is that they had a very limited music video. Now, I've always criticized countries who spent too much on their music videos. Some countries have really gone whole hog and shipped cars out into the deeper desert and obviously spend a lot of money. No one sees the music video. Probably the Eurovision fans do, because they look it up online, or you and I will look it up. But your typical voter never sees the music video. So I actually understand entirely why Australia this year essentially did little more than a sophisticated lyric video. They have the words on the screen. You have the two artists, but they're not actually singing along to their song. They're just standing there. It's a very basic video. Nicely done, but still basic. And I think that is being reflected in their current betting.
Okay.
I think they're going to do very well. I'm actually predicting a top 10 finish in the grand final for them. The betting odds would say exactly the opposite. The betting odds would say that they won't even be in the grand final, but time will tell.
And currently in some markets, they're paying $300. Alistair Birch is our guest, about to head to Eurovision. So besides Australia, Finland and Croatia, people always interested in the UK entry or the Swedish entry. What about Israel and Ukraine as well? You know, that's controversial, or the Israel entry.
Yes. The Israel entry was almost not in it in the first place. They, the original title of their song was judged to be too political. It mentioned October Rain, which could be interpreted as a reference to the recent events in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And originally, the Israeli TV or Cannes said, OK, well, we refuse to change the lyric, therefore we will not take part. but the Prime Minister of Israel intervened. It's amazing how often Eurovision ends up in the Knesset in Israel. It happens every year, but this year particularly so. And he basically said, no, you've got to do it. You've changed the song however it needs to be so that you are representing Israel to the wider world and showing we're a peaceful country. So it's a controversial decision that Israel is still in it. Not everyone agrees with it. I shan't comment on the rights or wrongs, but they are there. They have changed the song significantly. The lyrics are much more vanilla. But because of the whole political situation, I would find it surprising if they do qualify for the grand final, simply because there is a sentiment that's not in their favour out there, which has got nothing to do with Eurovision at the moment.
Okay.
And they probably won't make it to the grand final.
All right. The UK.
Yes, the UK has actually sent an actor, believe it or not.
Ollie Alexander.
Exactly. He's known for a groundbreaking TV series set in London in the 80s, where it was towards the middle of the AIDS epidemic. It's something we can still get, I think, only on pay TV here on one of these subscription services. Okay. But it's a very, very moving series. It impacted me particularly because I was living in London at that time, and I saw what is being depicted in that TV show firsthand. He's a multi-talent. He's a performer. He's an actor. He does everything. I'm just a little bit concerned. Last year, the Brits sent one of their biggest stars, and they didn't get the staging right. They were just so full of themselves that this is how we do big stadium events. It just didn't come across on TV very well. They did really poorly in the contest, in the voting. I shall keep my decision out on the UK until we've actually seen their performance on stage and to see if the staging has got any better from last year, because last year it was absolutely dismal.
Okay, fair enough. It's a Sin, by the way, was the name of that TV show that he was in. The song hasn't really reached any great heights in the UK charts. Just before we talk about a couple of other things, the home team, as it were, Sweden, they're always prominent at Eurovision, but not this year, maybe. Pretty ordinary effort from Marcus and Martinus.
Yeah, you've got to understand the background, though. Marcus and Martinus were child stars. They've been at it since they were like 14 or 15. They were in Junior Melody Festival a few years back, and everybody in Sweden knows them. So I think they won the adult national final in Sweden more because of their familiarity. Whatever they'd entered probably would have won. They know how to do a good song and dance act. But it is a very average Swedish entry. And I agree with you. They're lucky this year that they've got automatic entry into the grand final as hosting winners.
Yeah.
Because I think otherwise they might have struggled with this one. And it's also a financial thing. It's often said that the country who wins Eurovision, who then has to pay for the following year,
yes,
doesn't really want to win it 2 years in a row. I remember when Ireland won it, I think 3 years in a row, they actually gave up the hosting rights for the third year because they simply couldn't afford to host it so many times in a row. So Sweden, I don't think, is going to get anywhere. An interesting one we should talk about is Cyprus. Cyprus is the backup Australian entry because their singer is from Sydney. Much like last year, they chose an Australian to represent them. Obviously, an Australian with a Greek Cypriot family. They always get 12 points from Greece, let's put it that way. But her performances, she's quite young. Her performances that I've seen so far have been okay. But because of the diaspora, Greece and Cyprus normally both do qualify if they enter pop songs. And this is very much fitting the mold of your typical Cypriot pop song that gets through. If they do get through to the grand final, I'm not sure that they'll be on the right-hand side. But if the bookies are correct with Electric Fields, at least we'll have an Australian singer in the grand final to vote for and to support.
You know, you mentioned if you win it, you've got to host it the next year. That happened in 74. Of course, the UK had not won it in 73, and it was 1974. It was held in Brighton. That's when ABBA won with Waterloo. It is 50 years since they won, as we mentioned. Do you think they'll be there? What are we hearing about the ABBA connection to this year's Eurovision in Sweden?
Well, the word is that ABBA themselves may well attend. They won't be performing live, but their hologram show from London is somehow being set up. So there will be likely to be a hologram show of the young ABBA as it looks at a London show during the performance. Now, I'm told that when you go to the theatre in London and watch their holograms, it's as if you're at a real ABBA concert. You can't tell the difference between them and a real human. But that's a 3D hologram. How that will come over on TV is going to be interesting. And also, the theatre in London was built specially for ABBA with all the technology they need to make it look special, whereas Eurovision is, yes, it's built specially for Eurovision, but they build it and they perform the thing and then they rip it down. So there's a limit to what you can actually do in that arena. So I'll be interested to see if they pull that off, if it actually looks good on television. It wouldn't be the first time, by the way, that songs have been cut. I know a few years back at the Junior Eurovision in Kiev, there was one performer, former winner of Eurovision, who just couldn't get it together on the night, went through three or four rehearsals. It wasn't working. And then just suddenly she disappeared from the schedule and wasn't included in the show. So I'm not suggesting that's going to happen with ABBA, but it is a possibility. You know, with technology, with cutting edge technology like holograms, who knows whether it's going to look good on the night or not.
Okay. How important was ABBA's win, do you think, in 1974 for making Sweden care about Eurovision and then eventually the rest of the world care about Eurovision?
Sweden has always had a very strong pop industry. It always has. A lot of the American artists singing what we consider to be American songs were actually songs written or penned by Swedes or in collaboration with Swedes. And this existed long before ABBA won Eurovision. In Sweden, the national final, Melodifestivalen, rates higher than Eurovision. It's considered to be more important to win the national final, and then going ahead to the European contest is a bit of an afterthought. And it rates better on television. It's 10 weeks long, I think. Normally they tour around the country. It's been a little bit messed up recently because since coronavirus, but in a normal year they would go to all the major towns and cities of Sweden for their heats. And it's become this massive juggernaut. It's become a pop machine. Now, ABBA winning Eurovision, everyone says that was the beginning of their hits. In fact, ABBA winning Eurovision did not lead to immediate success. There were a couple of years after 1974 where ABBA was struggling, and it was only when they toured, of all places, Australia, and there was a movie made out of it, and the movie was released, and they became such big stars down here that this enthusiasm for ABBA spread around the world, and they really became big in America and elsewhere. So ABBA do have, the Australian connection to ABBA is quite important.
They actually had Ring Ring make the charts. Now, sure, it was about number 96, I think, but that was 6 months before Eurovision.
Exactly. And you know what? Back then, they weren't even called ABBA.
No.
They were still using their individual names, which was a bit of a mouthful. So imagine that's why they abbreviated themselves. Mm. Exactly. So look, there's a whole history. There are a lot of ABBA shows on the TV at the moment, and some of them pay a homage to the Australian connection for ABBA. Some of them just skip it entirely and say their success started at Eurovision, which is not entirely true.
Indeed.
It actually happens to a lot of artists, though, that if you're successful at Eurovision, it does not mean automatic success in the real world, so to speak. And sometimes the artists who come 20th at Eurovision then go on to have major global success. So it's not necessarily a good predictor of success, but it can help.
Okay. Alistair, you'll be there for us in a couple of weeks' time. I look forward to that. And we'll get a better idea of what might happen, who's going to be there, who might win, and we'll hear plenty of that music. Alistair Birch, thank you so much. Talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.